something in particular that kids, especially little kids, absolutely hate to hear. And it's a phrase, just wait, or hold on a moment, right? From a young age, it seems like we've been predestined almost to struggle with patience. It's ingrained in us from a young age, almost like we're hardwired for it. We have a natural bent to struggle with patience. And I know for myself, while I feel like I've personally grown some in this area, I have still such a long ways to go when it comes to growing in patience and exercising patience. In fact, when my kids found out the topic that I'd be speaking on this morning, they all kind of chuckled to themselves because they know I struggle with being impatient at times and in various circumstances, especially when it comes to driving around town here in Grand Forks. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a major metropolitan area. And so I learned to drive where you learn to drive. And if you're not going 8 to 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, you're getting unkind hand gestures your way. So I'm used to driving rather quickly and fighting traffic and getting to places in and out. Here it's a little bit different, right? Everybody kind of has a more relaxed pace, and people rarely get up to the speed limit. Even if it's on a sunny summer day with no traffic around, they're not getting up to the speed limit. Just kind of like 5 miles an hour under and take. And so for me, it's excruciating because I'm so used to, let's go, let's get there. And because I struggle with being patient. And if you saw what my kids see and what Christy, my wife, sees in the car when we're all traveling together in town, you would be laughing at me and going, what in the world is that guy doing up there talking about patience? Okay, it's absurd. I know, it really is. But that's God's grace right there shown. Because I struggle with it, and yet he calls me out to talk about patience with us as a congregation. If that doesn't show God's grace, I don't know what does. It's amazing that we have a chance to talk about that and to look at that and to hear it from a guy who struggles with being patient. And just as a side note, I know this might be a little too soon for some of us Vikings fan, but I think God created me to be a Vikings fan because he knew I struggle with patience and that I'm going to need to learn over and over and over again and again. But just once, can they win the world championship in my life? Just once? How many Vikings fans have said that over the years? You all struggle with patience, that's why. You're Vikings fans. All right, so I've spent the last couple of weeks talking about endangered character qualities, qualities that are hard to grasp when they're actually becoming endangered. The first week, I believe it was contentment that Pastor Paul led us through. How do we grow in contentment? And then courage. How do we take courageous steps in our faith? And then last week, Pastor Keith led us through the area of discipline. How do we become more disciplined as individuals, and the way that God calls us out to live more disciplined lives. And this week we'll talk about patience. So why is patience an endangered character quality? It's so extremely difficult to practice patience, especially in our day and age. Not only has the fall of creation, because of our sin nature, made it hard for us to be patient, but our society and our culture in which we live in doesn't help matters at all. We live in such a fast-paced society where we can have just about anything our hearts desire in a matter of moments. We've been conditioned to want things how we want them, when we want them, and it's almost like this instant gratification that is part of our culture, and we've come to normalize this. You don't believe me? Here are a couple examples. You're standing in a fast food restaurant, let's say McDonald's, and your order takes 5 minutes instead of 3 minutes, and you're like, what's going on here? There's no one else in line. It's like we almost feel violated that our food is taking 2 more minutes. It's crazy. But I will say, and I won't name the restaurant, there's a fast food restaurant that I went to here in town not too long ago, in a hurry, of course, that's why it's fast food, and the order took 35 minutes to get. I just about came unglued, and I'm like, I'm a pastor, I can't. I got to hold it together. Someone here knows me. Or what about the area of like becoming healthy and, you know, getting our bodies in shape and all those sort of things, like training or weight loss? And how many of you, you go on a diet and you eat healthy for one day and you hop on the scale expecting to lose 5 pounds. You don't lose 5 pounds. Like, I'm over that. I'm not going to do it because we've lost the art of being patient and disciplined and all of these things that we're talking about. And they're endangered character qualities. And our culture is contrary to a lot of these things that we're talking about. It doesn't help that we have immediate access to all sorts of media. I remember someone recommended a book, and I had my Kindle out, and we're in a setting, like, hey, have you guys heard about this book? It's phenomenal. I'm like, oh, really? Pull it up, download it. You guys should all get it. I'm downloading it right now. Got it. I can start reading it. In a moment, I can be reading any sort of book that's available on Kindle. In a moment, I could be watching a movie at home on my TV. Say, like, oh, what do you want to do? Oh, there's something. Let's watch it. You know, back in the day when I was growing up, we had to drive to the video store. We had to rent a VHS. That's pre-DVD for those years. And we actually had to rent it, pay for it, and then bring it home, put it in a DVD player, and then sit down and watch. So, like, you had to plan what you were going to do and go. And it, like, took half hour, 45 minutes to drive to the store, get it, come back. Now we select the movie, and it takes, if it takes longer than 30 seconds, we're like, what's going on with our Wi-Fi? Come on, you know? I mean, we get so impatient. Our culture doesn't help. Some of you may be aware, but our church has a resource that we subscribe to called Right Now Media. And in an instant and in a moment, you can have access to all sorts of great Christian content. Online, video content, great speakers, some of the best communicators in the world are on there. Great children's videos, cartoons, VeggieTales, all those sort of things. And it's free for anybody who considers Hope Church their church. All you have to do is, if you haven't signed up already, let us know. Send us your email address or turn it in on your Connect card or or let one of the staff know and we'll get you hooked up. It's called Right Now Media. And in a moment, in an instant, on any topic pertaining to our faith, there's tons of resources available. In fact, we got a little example here that we're going to show you. So if we could bring that up. So if we want to do a search on friendship, so he starts typing in friendship. And this is what it looks like. And all of a sudden you have all sorts of studies and topics and video curriculum and children's resources all on this topic of friendship. Thousands and thousands of resources available free for you. If you consider Hope Church your home church, we'd love to get you set up with this. We'll send you a link to get started. So sometimes it's nice. You can have instant access to media, but with that, it can create in us this desire to want things instantly, and it becomes hard for us to be patient and to wait on things. As I think about this whole concept and idea of patience, very few people would describe themselves as patient. In fact, I've met very few people who said, you know, I'm actually a pretty patient person. Most of us go, yeah, you know what, I could be pretty impatient in various times. Maybe you could relate to me who prayed the prayer, Lord, I'm really struggling right here. I need some patience. Can you hurry up, please? Give it to me. I have so many examples of being impatient. In fact, just on Monday morning, I sat down to begin writing my thoughts on the sermon. And, of course, my computer takes a little bit longer than normal to kind of load up. And I'm like, wow, my computer's so slow. What's going on? Hurry up. So, you catch it? I was being impatient to write a sermon on patience. And I caught myself right in that moment going, what am I doing? What is it about our own lives and our own society that we live in that creates in us this desire to want things immediately? Now, even beyond the petty inconveniences of slow computers and slow drivers and those sort of things. I struggle with significance in more significant ways as well. When there's a ministry initiative that I want to see take off, and I'm just like, oh, when is it going to take off? And God says, be patient, wait on me. Or when I've made a significant life decision, and we're like, okay, when is it going to happen? And yet God just says, wait. Things will come into place as they unfold and as I lead you. It can be challenging. And so as a sojourner with you, as one who wrestles with patience, I'm looking forward to diving into this topic together. It is an endangered character quality. And we need to look at some significant things in Scripture that help shape us to grow in this particular area. So let's look at how the Bible defines patience. If you have your sermon notes, I've got a lot of information in there. And we're going to be walking through that kind of step by step, how the Bible defines patience. Now, we all have various impressions of what patience means. But we really need to look at how the Bible defines patience. And I love this quote that's in the sermon notes there, where one commentary said, after consolidating, there's a lot of passages that talk about patience. There's a lot of them. And after looking over all those passages and kind of consolidating the essence of what those passages are and the meaning, he summarizes it this way, as one commentary. Biblical patience is God-exercised, God or God-given restraint in face of opposition or oppression or suffering. It is not passivity. Okay, let me read that again. Biblical patience is God-exercised or God-given restraint in face of opposition or oppression or suffering. It is not passivity. I love that emphasis that it's not on passivity, that it takes intentional attentiveness on our part. Now, this definition helps frame for us the idea of what it means to be patient and that it's an active response. Being patient is not being indifferent or being passive. It's showing restraint, and it's either given by God or shown by God. So how does God show us his patience? I think it's important for us that we look at Scripture and look at ways in which God has shown us and demonstrated to us his patience. I believe that patience is an endangered character quality for us as believers when we forget how patient God is toward us. It's easy to become impatient when we forget that God is a God of patience. It's one of his character qualities. It is part of who he is, and he has demonstrated it. And that Ephesians 5:1 tells us to emulate God, to emulate his qualities. I believe that patience is an endangered character quality because we forget that God is so patient with us. But as we spend time in his word and as we look at how patient he is, he begins to just change our hearts and change who we are. And in a sense, kind of rub off on us that we might become more patient and grow in that. There's another quote in the sermon notes that says, certainly we lose much if we do not frequently meditate upon the patience of God and earnestly pray that our hearts and ways be more completely conformed to him. We do lose much. We don't think about how great God is in his patience and displaying that to us. So let's look at a couple scripture passages. I also have those in the sermon notes. Psalm 86:15, which declares, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. We see similar language in Numbers 14:18, that the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And again, in Psalm 103:8, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Over and over and over, we see he is slow to anger. He is patient with us. Romans 2:4 tells us that God's kindness is in his forbearance and his patience is what leads people to repentance. God's kindness and his patience is what leads people to himself. That the very nature of his patience is what draws us to him. It does to me. When I look at my life and how messed up I am and I see how patient God has been with me, I go, oh man, I want to spend time with him. I want to get to know him. I want to be like him more and more. We also see the example that Psalm 78 talks about. In the Old Testament, there's God's chosen people, and time again, they fell away from honoring God and walking with God. Time and time again. And God would deliver them out of their horrible circumstances, and he would demonstrate his power, and he would demonstrate his glory, and he would pull them out and deliver them, and then shortly after, they would walk away, and they would do something stupid, just like you and I do. And this passage in Psalm 78 talks about how God was patient, even with the nation of Israel. I mean, God's patience is so prevalent throughout Scripture. We see that even in the delay of his coming. We know that Jesus is going to come and he's going to restore all things, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and all that which is broken is going to be restored. But it says this in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise to do just that, what I was talking about. He's not slow to fulfill his promise, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God is patient time and time again. We also see numerous examples of people in the Scriptures that demonstrated patience. And I find great encouragement from people like Abraham, who patiently waited for the fulfillment of the promise that God had. And he waited and he waited. Or I think of many of the Old Testament prophets that James talks about in James chapter 5:10. They waited for the fulfillment of God to do what he said he was going to do. I think of Job. You guys remember the story of Job? I mean, he lost everything. It says he was upright. He was a man without blame. And yet, God allowed tragedy to hit. And he lost his health and his family and his possessions and everything. And he patiently waited on the Lord. That gives me encouragement and hope. That I too, by God's grace, can emulate that. I think of Joseph as well. Joseph, who from a young boy endured wrongdoings against him from his family and was wrongly accused and spent time in prison and all sorts of things until he was eventually delivered and God brought him up to a place of prominence. And it was years and years and years that he endured hardship after hardship and false accusation after false accusation. And yet he waited on the Lord. There are many other examples in Scripture that we can find encouragement and inspiration that we too, by God's grace, can display patience and wait on him. But one of the areas of patience that's really challenging to me and what I really think about, you know, beyond just the inconveniences at a fast food restaurant that takes longer to get your food or driving around town or slow computers or slow kids getting ready in the morning, all those sort of things, beyond the petty inconveniences, there's something significant about how to be patient in times of trial and struggle. And that's what I want to look at now. How can we really demonstrate patience and grow in patience in the midst of significant hardship, in the midst of significant hardship and struggle? I think of my sister Katie. My sister Katie's been going through some significant health stuff. She's younger than I am, and yet still is, last year or so, I've been struggling with stroke-like symptoms, extreme pain and fatigue. And it's been to the ER countless times over the last year, and still really no diagnosis, accurate diagnosis and treatment, and she's just kind of waiting. Like, how does someone like that patiently wait on the Lord? Perhaps you're going through a significant hardship yourself. Maybe it's a business hardship or something going on in your family or health-related, and you're just waiting. What can we draw on in times like that to patiently wait on the Lord? How can God give us strength? Well, let's look at that. Let's spend some time examining a passage in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, which talks about being patient in times of tribulation. So I invite you, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 12. I also have the passages kind of laid out in the sermon notes as well. Romans 12, it's an unbelievable shift in Romans. And before we dive into Romans 12:12, which talks about being patient in tribulation, I want to kind of set the parameters and set the kind of groundwork of where this passage is lying in Romans. It's really fascinating because in the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul is laying out this rich theological doctrine about salvation, about our response to God and what it means to be saved and what God has done to offer salvation to us as his people. It's amazing. He spends 11 chapters just laying out the beautiful gospel story. And then at the end, that's why I put this passage chapter 11, verse 33. In the end of this, he just bursts out in glorious song, this doxology, and it says this: "Oh, the depth of the riches of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? From him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." It's beautiful. He lays this rich theological groundwork, this doctrine for our faith. And then before he gets to chapter 12, where he begins to talk about practical living, like when the rubber hits the road, like our faith in action, before he does that, he bursts out in this glorious song. And I think that's beautiful. We don't study God's word just to learn more about God's word. We study God's word that we create in us this immense desire to worship God. That as we learn more about God, we should just cry out and go, "Amazing God, who is like you?" So the goal isn't just to know more. It's to be transformed by God's word. First 11 chapters of Romans, rich theological doctrine. Chapter 11, the end of it, beautiful praise. And then chapter 12, how do you live it out? And that's where our verse rests, Romans 12:12. He's talking about faith in action. How do you live out your faith? He knows that we're going to struggle with patience. He knows that we're going to live in times where it's going to be hard. He knows that we're going to be in times of struggle, like my sister Katie or others, where we're going, how do we wait on the Lord? And he says, be patient in tribulation. It's hard. We can do it because of who God is as he lays that out. We can do it. We can live out our faith because of who God is and what he has done. Let's look at verse 12 a little bit more closely. Be patient. This is a verb. And in the original language, it implies a number of things. It is to remain or stay behind, to stand one's ground, to hold out, to endure, to wait for, to be permanent, to resist, to continue, to take upon oneself, bear, to stand firm, to suffer, to put up with. You see kind of the language that's described in this be patient? It's not passive, friends. It's a call to action. It's not, oh, just hope for the best. It's a call to do something. And then we see in tribulation, and here's, if you look at the original language, kind of it implies oppression or affliction, trouble, pressure, distress, hard circumstances, and suffering. It's kind of language that we see. And what we learn from this passage is that we are to take action. We are to exercise patience when we are faced with challenging circumstances. It's not passively sit back. To live out patience requires action and response. So how do we do that? What's our game plan to becoming more patient, to acting it out, to exercising it? You may be sitting here today and go, "Yeah, Severson, I get it. I need to be more patient. I've known it for a long time, but how do I grow in patience? I've tried. I've failed, but I want to grow in this area." You may be sitting here going, "Yeah, you know, I probably do need to grow in patience. I get it." There's a couple ways that we can go about it. A lot of times what happens when we hear a challenging message or we're looking at Scripture and we're challenged by it is that we go, "Well, you know, I'm just going to try harder. I'm just going to do it my own strength and I'm going to choose to be more patient." And a lot of times what happens when we take that mindset, and I've been there, I've done it, a couple things happen. One, if I'm successful, I go, "Look what I've done. I've become more patient in my own strength. Look, I must be a pretty good person. The person next to me, man, you should see them flipping out in the car. I'm not like that anymore. I'm patient. It subtly happens. But if we're honest, a lot of times that's a condition of our heart when we do it in our own strength. Or when we try to do it in our own strength, the opposite happens. We try, and inevitably we fail because we're doing it in our own strength. And we fail, and then we become discouraged. And we're like, you know what, this just isn't working out for me. I should just throw in the towel. I mean, I don't know about this whole faith thing. I've tried. I'm just not becoming a better person. You see, when we try to do it in our own strength, we either become more prideful or discouraged in our faith. And that's not what God wants for us. In fact, that's not what the purpose of this time is, studying this morning. It's not a call necessarily to do more. It's a call to repentance. It's a call to rely on God. Because we can't change the interior of our hearts. Our hearts are so messed up, we can't change it in our own strength. We need to cry out to God. I can't become more like God in exercising patience in and of my own strength. I need to cry out to God. Only He can change my heart. Only He can change me internally. And so the Holy Spirit, which God's word says resides in me as a believer, resides in each of you as a believer. The Holy Spirit, that same Spirit, the same power that represents the Holy Spirit, who God is, who called Jesus out of the grave, who called Jesus out of death to life, victory over sin and death, the same God who created all things into existence by speaking them, the same God that demonstrated so much of His power throughout Scriptures, the same God resides in us. And that is the God that's going to change our hearts. It's not going to happen in our own strength. Why would we rely on our own strength when we have the power of the Holy Spirit residing in us who wants to transform us? This isn't a do more message, folks. This is a cry out to God and trust Him that He's going to shape your heart, that He's going to help you grow in these areas that are endangered in our culture, areas of courage, discipline, contentment, patience, discipline, all these things. So this morning, my challenge to you is cry out to God. Maybe it's not patience, maybe it's a different area that you want to grow in. Spend time with God. Let Him transform your heart. And let Him be the one to change and shape you as you rely on Him. Amen. Here's how we're going to close our time together of worship. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand and receive the closing blessing, the benediction. And then after we do that, we're just going to have a song that just talks about waiting on the Lord playing in the background. And if you want to linger a little bit longer and listen to the song, you're welcome to. If you want to linger and just reflect on some of these passages, you're welcome to. No expectation. If you want to leave and go enjoy conversation and other activities out in the Great Hall, you're welcome to. But if you want to stay and just listen to that song, you're welcome to do so. But let me pray, and then we'll receive the blessing. God, I thank You for today. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the way that You have shown us Your patience and the way that You demonstrate Your patience toward us. Forgive us, God. We recognize our need for You this morning. It is so great. We can't change our own hearts. We ask You in the power of Your Spirit to do just that. Help us to become more like You. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Would you please stand and receive the Lord's blessing? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you His peace now and forever. May you go and become a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. May you let God love you. Love Him in return and love others in Jesus' name. Let's go and be the church.